I want to welcome you to the next in the 67 steps. Remember what this is. Principles for you to change your habits, get the dreams back, the hopes if they've died out, get them revving up on full cylinders or all cylinders again. So today I call this, you know, this is related to my years living with the Amish when I was in my early 20s. So this is called Sam Chupp and Making, Watching, Wondering. Moving beyond the three types into just the two types. So, you know, I live with the Amish for about two and a half, three years and learned a tremendous amount from them. If you don't know who they are, they're not Mormons. People confuse them. They're not a cult. They're just basically a group of people long time ago came from Europe, Germany, and settled in the United States, Pennsylvania, Ohio, the basically central, northern, eastern part of the United States. And they still live old fashioned. So they still dress like they did 200 years ago. It's part of their, they're Christians, but it's part of their understand, their denomination. So they don't use electricity. They don't have cars. They don't go on airplanes. Pretty traditional. In fact, they're not that different than everybody was about 150 years ago. So I went there for many reasons. I was, you know, I've always been an experimenter, trying to find, push the boundaries. And I wanted to also know what the world was like a couple hundred years ago. And I found that. And I learned many things from the Amish. But today in this 67 step, one of the big takeaways, and this isn't necessarily a saying that an Amish person came up with, but it's the first time I ever heard it. I was living with a guy in Virginia, Southeast Virginia, in a little town, kind of near, if you know Virginia, near Wytheville, Virginia, and near Blacksburg. His name was Sam Chupp. He's one of the nicest, most gracious, selfless people I've ever met. And I lived with him and his six kids and his wife, and he had built a log cabin, lived in the community. And best years of my life so far, you know, I've had everything. I've lived in Beverly Hills, and now I'm Hollywood Hills, and Ferraris, and Maseratis, and Lamborghinis, and all that stuff. But kind of like Bob Marley said, you know, money can't buy life. So life, a good life, comes from these four pillars. Health, you do need some wealth. Even the Amish work and make money. But it's not the 100% focus. It should be the 25% focus, you know, four pillars. Health, wealth, love, fulfillment, or happiness. So I was with him one time, and he was a carpenter, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but he said to me, he said, you know, Ty, three types of people in the world. The first makes things happen. The second watches things happen. And the third wonders what happened. And now he said it as a joke. He was being funny, tongue in cheek. But think about life. Think about your life. Now, if you go back to some of the first 67 steps, if you remember back with me for a second, we talked about this worth a damn factor that I learned. You know, that's one of the primary pillars of this 67 steps is your level of awareness has to come up. People, when you separate the other 67 steps, we talk about rich friends, poor friends. Difference between rich friends and poor friends is oftentimes, you know, just literally what the awareness level is. Poor people, and I don't mean just poor in money, I mean poor in life. They're just going through life. I call it zombies chasing mirages. Now, as we talk about this today, it's related to that, but I want you to understand that there's these three, let's call them modalities of life, okay? So the first modality is, and you will move in different modalities depending on the situation in which you find yourself, whether you're a parent, married, own your own business, or work for somebody else. You're gonna have to move like Casanova's chameleon. I talk about that a lot for those of you who are in the more advanced business stuff, closing the sale, persuasion techniques. It's all about this. Can you move to the appropriate modality? So the problem is there's this third modality, and it's a false modality. It's a modality that really there's no reason for you to ever be in, yet it's the default state of the masses of people. It's the default state of the crowd. And that is to wonder what happened. If you don't believe me, go out and ask somebody something. Go out, ask. Just sit in a room with somebody you know, somebody at work. Just look around you and ask them things. So I remember when I was a little kid, I was 2 or 3, my grandfather was a scientist in San Diego, California. And I was just sitting in front of a fireplace. He at that point wasn't, he had emphysema, smoked too much, was almost 80 years old and had lost his health. So he pretty much couldn't walk around. So he was sitting in a chair. And, you know, he looked at that, I would look at the fire or anything around and just ask him questions. It was a brick fireplace. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. And this is when I was 4 or 5 years old. And another time, great time in my life, I remember I loved my grandpa a lot. And he taught me, he was kind of like my father because my mom was a single mom. So I'd look at that fireplace and I'd go, what is fire? And my grandpa, he knew, you know, he was a scientist. So he'd say, well, fire is, you know, and unfortunately, I can't remember what he said. This is probably a bad example of me wondering. So let's just take this example. You know, fire is an important part of life. Why do I not know this? My grandpa knew. See, he was making things happen. He had made that knowledge go into his head. He had sought out knowledge. Sometimes he was watching, meaning he wasn't always in an aggressive mode of learning. Sometimes he was sitting back enjoying the fact that he knew what fire, but me, I was in the wondering state. Then I would look at the bricks and be like, oh, look, bricks. What do bricks come from? And he would say, well, bricks is a form of clay and this and that, and it's heated in a fire and that. So he knew because he had made this happen. He had not been somebody wondering. See, the wondering state is one that's easily testable. You can test it in yourself and you can test it in those people you surround yourself with. Just ask them questions. I always use this simple test. I mentioned this, I think, in the other 67 step, but it's a good one. Look at your keyboard. I got a keyboard here in front of me. Do you know right now what F5 does, that button, or what F8 does, or F12? Remember, these are buttons you see every single day when you use your laptop. If you go on your iPhone, do you know what all these buttons do? Like, you know, you go in here and I'm gonna go into my phone here and you go to the settings. Do you know what all the settings are on your iPhone? Have you ever taken the time to click through them all and just spend 10 minutes? Now you might say, well, Ty, I don't wanna spend my life like that, but why not? That's an integral tool in your life, your phone or your computer. Yet again, most people wonder. If you say, what does F5 do? I don't know what. That's the wondering state. And one of the most important things, as evidenced by the fact that I talk about this more than once, is as you come out of these 67 steps, you know, you're moving your way through pretty far now, is I want you to become somebody who knows stuff. I just had a company meeting with some of the officers who run one of the companies. And even them, you know, the CFOs and CMOs and CEOs and COOs that run my companies, I'm still having to be like, top of mind. Why don't you know this stuff on the top of your mind? I had to ask a question about accounting on payroll. And I was like, well, we're sending this much out in payroll. What's the rough breakout of who's getting paid in the company? And they were like, well, we got to go look on our computer. And I don't like that attitude. I'm like, well, why don't you know that off the top of your mind? Why are you wondering? Now, that's not to say that there are things that will slip out of your mind. It's not to say, in fact, I'm reading this interesting book, Rookie Smarts here. I'm gonna do a book of the day on this, but Liz Wiseman, it's a pretty interesting book. She basically says we're outsourcing our knowledge because there's so much. The rate of knowledge in the world is, she said, like in biology, it's doubling every, I don't know, 8 months, she said, or 18 months, something like that. So if you're a doctor, you know, a year or two from now, you only know 50% of what you knew the year before, right? So she was saying it's not about memorization anymore. A lot of that's changed. And I agree with that. So don't take away from this that you have to become a walking encyclopedia. What I'm talking about today is a state of mind. It's a mentality. It's not a black and white line. It's not like, oh, if you don't know what, off the top of your head, what 83 times 42 is instantly, well, why haven't you memorized your 83 times tables? That's not important. That's not the spirit of what I'm trying to say. This is not about the letter of the law, as they say. It's about the spirit. The spirit here, you're generally somebody that's curious. There's a great book. It's called Curious. It's on my Instagram if you haven't seen any. The author basically says when he studies the most powerful, most successful people in the world, whether it's Einstein or Stephen Hawking or any of these people that have revolutionized the world, people have risen above the crowd, risen above the masses, they did it with curiosity as the instigation or the catalyst, that force that really helped them rise above. So if you want to rise above, you continually have to go, all right, I'm in a situation. Am I making something happen here? Meaning, like, am I a mover and shaker? Let's say you're at a meeting at business in a company you own or a company you work for. That meeting's going on. They're talking about how to increase revenue or how to cut costs. So you should be in only two modalities at that moment. Either making things happen, meaning overtly and explicitly, directly contributing to the conversation, being like, hey, you know what? I was thinking last night that a great thing would do would be to blah, blah, blah. So that's you making things happen in the meeting. Alternatively, you could be watching things happen, meaning you're sitting back attentively taking in the knowledge from the group of people around you. That is watching, and that's okay. People get confused and they think, you know, that what Sam Chupman or what I meant was that at every moment you're an alpha and you're just making. No, that doesn't make sense. That's a false understanding of life. You can't always be making things happen because there's plenty of time. There's a good book called The Power of Introverts. It talks about people like Bill Gates. There's many introverts that change the world, people that go inward. They do a lot of observation and they're the watchers, and that's okay. And then there's the makers. Those are the talkers and the, you know, the CEOs and the alphas, and that's okay too. But what you don't find when you look for people who change the world, you don't find people who wonder. You don't see wanderers in life. The wanderers are the people who have no impact, who don't get the good life, who don't find the health, wealth, love, and happiness that they want. All they do is, like Seneca says, the great Stoic philosopher, in his book On the Shortness of Life, they just pass time. They don't really live. And he says, you don't want to be that person. You want to live, okay? So to live, you must dissect. Now let's dissect this state that most people are in, which is the wondering. Again, you ask them, well, you can just test them or test yourself. It's always better to start with yourself. You know, do you understand anything about the stock market? What's the difference between a stock and a bond? Do you know? What's the difference between cash accounting and accrual accounting? What's the difference between a preferred stock and a common stock? What's the difference between, or where does fire come from? Why does gravity work? How far is the moon away? Now you might say, Ty, what does that have to do with life? Well, you know, how's that going to benefit me? I can tell you a lot of things. Let me just start with this. In order to get ahead financially, you have to be an impressive person. So even if it doesn't matter to you that the moon is 20,000 miles away. Ugh. I'm probably embarrassing myself by not knowing these questions, but if you don't know that, or things like that, it's not the letter of the law. It's not like go out and memorize just Trivial Pursuit cards and that's gonna make you get ahead. It's not, but I will tell you, if you don't know things, you will not be impressive. And one day you'll be sitting down at a dinner, a whole bunch of people will be there. You won't even know all the people at the dinner, but you'll be talking, there'll be somebody sitting next to you and you'll be an unimpressive person. Person who strikes them as, this is just another person who's just wandering through life, wasting time. And you won't impress them, and they won't reach out to you like they would have if had you been impressed and said, hey, let's go to dinner sometime. And they won't invest $1 million in your business. They won't partner with you. They won't say, hey, you should meet my friend who connects you to the next stage. No, you'll just go through life in a haze, never even knowing. That's why so many people in the hazy state go, Tar, what are you talking about? My life's just fine. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know what you missed out on, because you missed out. Because when it comes to social, like attracts like, right? You don't believe me? I always say Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You think it's coincidence that, you know, one of the most beautiful women in the world dating one of the most, you know, biggest movie star guys who makes about the same amount of money, who's in the same industry, who's about the same age, blah, blah, blah. Just all similarity attracts in social circles. You can read, there's various reasons, evolutionarily, adaptive, so on and so forth, but even if you don't care about knowing anything, if you do care about your life, you want to know stuff. I mean, I believe you should do it purely for the interest in knowledge. To me, that's a good state to be in. You should get enjoyment just from knowing and understanding. And that, to me, that's what makes us different than the animals. See, a dog never asks why. A dog just knows, don't put your paw in the fireplace. It never asks, why is that fire there? And that's why a dog cannot create fire. Because if you don't ask why, I always say, Alan Nation used to tell me, Ty asked, to understand anything, ask why 3 times. You know, you see a fire? Why is a fire? Why am I warm right now? Well, there's a fire. Why does the fire make me warm? Well, it's the way that it heats the air and the air moves from me. But why does it heat the air? And then you get to the crux of the issue where you understand, you know, basically the chemical processes that are happening in a fire. And now you may think that's a useless fact, but you don't, it might be useless to you. But just imagine if you were somewhere, imagine if you were doing the Warren Buffett test. Let's say you've had a great idea in your life. Have you ever had some amazing idea that you knew would have made you a millionaire or even a billionaire? Some idea, but no one invested in your idea, so someone else did it. I had that idea. I was going to make the... When I was young, I read the Lord of the Rings, J.R. Tolkien book series, and I was like, man, this should be a movie. But I didn't have the skill or the money to ever do it. And Peter Jackson and those investors made that movie series, and it's one of the biggest movie series of all time. So now, that's not, they didn't take my idea, obviously. But you see the point there. If I had had the money, if I'd had the opportunity, that could have been me. So think about your own life. Ever missed out on something? Well, what would make you an impressive person? Just do the inversion. You're at a dinner table and you have $100 million to invest. I just had somebody from the UK. There's money everywhere. I was at a dinner last Saturday in Beverly Hills. I was sitting next to the guy who started the E Network, E Entertainment Channel. On the other side, a guy from Harvard, young guy, sold his first company, now has a $20 million. He can't figure out where to invest. He wants to buy or start companies. He has 20 million bucks, and he said he can get more. So what would it take for you to get that $20 million to invest in your idea? Or those connections with people on TV to get your own TV show, whatever it is you need, well, you'd have to impress those people. And I'll tell you, I was just at dinner with them. The more you go up the chain, go up the ladder, it's harder to impress those people because they've already done a lot. Like attracts like. The simplest way you can do that is to give off this authentic, genuine air about you, this feel that that's somebody who... They're either always making things happen or watching and observing and learning. They're never wondering. They never have a blank stare. They never have dull eyes. They're curious. So we talked about awareness in the other 67 steps. The takeaway from this one is your curiosity level must go up. And the only ways, the two modalities to increase your curiosity quotient, I like to call it, is the first way is to be aggressively making things happen by seeking out knowledge, by being a moving and shaker, and then alternatively by being a watcher. Watchers are introverted, or in a state of introversion, of listening, of learning, of reading, of being mentored. So those are the two states that you should go through the rest of your life in. Forget the other one. Forget the dull, you know, go blank behind the eyes, passing time. That is for people who don't want to live an extraordinary life. My goal and hope for you is that you want an extraordinary life. This is your one shot right here, right now, however old you are watching this, youngest you'll ever be on this planet, the youngest you'll ever be right now. This is your shot. I don't care if you're 60, you better take your shot now. And if you're 18, you might think you're young, but you don't know how long this shot is gonna last. So you better take it and run with it. So practical things, okay? Become aware of all the technical stuff around you. Even if you say, oh, I'm not a computer person. Remember, that's just a rule you invented. One of the 67 steps is no invention of rules unless there are a law of physics. When people say, oh, I'm not good at math, I'm like, well, what does that mean? That just means you got burnt out in school. It doesn't mean you really aren't good at math. Richard Branson was dyslexic, but he said, in order to become a billionaire, I realized I'd have to learn numbers. So he just broke the rule. Someone had made a rule that dyslexic people can't know numbers, and he broke the rule. I love rule breakers. Think of Roger Bannister. Nobody could run the 4-minute mile. That was the limit. No one could run 4 minutes. And then he did it. And then once he broke the rule, everyone's like, that's not a rule anymore. And then everyone could do it. But he had the special place. He's the one who broke it. So for you, go back to a place of being competent with the technology around you, because it's going to be a part of your life. So with your phone, click through things. Take a little bit of time, 2 minutes a day, every day. You want to know how to use your iPhone? Click every button. You can't really break anything. If it pops up and says, are you sure you want to delete? Then say cancel, but pretty much everything, just click everything. Next time you're on your computer, just click every button or Google it. You got have to start with the tools around you. That's another thing that basically only humans have perfected. I saw a TED talk where a guy taught a crow to be able to get a ring out of a bottle, and the crow was pretty smart, knew how to bend a hanger and then put it in. But that's the extent of it. Humans, you and I, we can do so much more, both for good and for bad, unfortunately, but yet we have this power to use tools. So don't nonchalantly use neglect the tools around you. You should know a little bit about your car. You don't have to be an auto mechanic, but know a little bit. Male or female watching this, will not be sexist. There's no reason that one gender has to know more about this than the other. So your iPad, your and the thing is, even if those things aren't important to you, you're starting to rewire how your brain works. You can't turn your brain on and off the habits that you have. You're either a curious person and you're curious about life in general, or you're not curious. There's not many people that are just like, oh, I'm only curious on the exact relevant things, and then my brain, because you're gonna spend all your brain power trying to turn off the curiosity. It's easier, just keep the curiosity on about everything. So the technical things around you, the cars, the light bulbs, the power, computer, laptop, iPhone, or whatever phone, Android. Secondly, become more curious around physical things, physics. So like, why does gravity work? Why does fire work? Those are easy now at Google. Every once in a while, once a week, Google fire and read the Wikipedia on it. I like Wikipedia. Some people say, oh, Wikipedia's not good. Whatever. It seems pretty accurate to me, especially on big subjects like that. I'm sure there's a few Wikipedias that are inaccurate, but the big ones are pretty darn good. The third thing you need to become more curious, on biology. Know what the difference between protein, carbohydrates, and fats, and how they work in your body. Health, you have to know stuff. So make that happen, and then watch your body more, right? Remember when you're pressing all the buttons on your laptop? Watch it, see what happens. Get good at making happen and watching what happens. So biology, that's the third thing. The fourth thing is social interactions. Ask why 3 times. Why do humans fall in love? Why is that important to humans? There's good books on that. Why do men get pot bellies and women, you know, put on weight on their thighs? Why? Well, because that's the difference between men and women. Why is that the difference? Well, men put belly fat because testosterone drops. And one of the signs, I mean, it's causation, correlation thing, chicken and egg, but I'm just kind of running through this quickly. Well, but why would lower testosterone cause men to have belly fat? Because even if you don't care about biology, you do care about your own life. If you're a man or a woman, you gotta know some things on biology. Next thing, subject, money. You must know about money. You got to know about your own body, health, biology. You have to know about money, period. When you're at your tax accountants, ask 10 questions. Why is this adjusted gross income? What's the difference between that? What is a Schedule C or whatever your tax thing? Know stuff. Make it happen. Go on Wikipedia. Buy a For Dummies book. I love the For Dummies book. Read them every once in a while. You don't have to do this every minute of every day, but you could invest in yourself 10 minutes a week. You know? Next time you have coffee, read something like that. Now, what else? Money. Love. Understand romance. That's a part of the social side. Read some Dr. Helen Fisher, some, you know, Martina Adshade, some David Buss. And then lastly, know about intangible things. Be curious. Why? What makes people happy? Be curious about music, art. What's a chord? When you do this in this book, Curious, it's a great book, by the way. There's an owl on the cover. I forget the author's name, but he says, he's talking about this famous TV executive in the UK who had just made millions but was just bored and burnt out with life. And once he said, I became curious and I was either watching or making things happen, he's like, the whole world opened up. Everything was interesting. Everything. The fact that I can stream through this camera right now, 200 years ago, 100, even 150 years ago, this was unheard of. But yet, this is real. Remember, don't wonder if I meet you one day and I ask you about how does a camera work. Know a little bit. You don't have to be, just to be clear, you don't have to be a medical doctor if you learn biology. You don't have to be a personal trainer if you learn fitness. You don't have to be an investor like Warren Buffett to understand a little bit about money. I'm talking about you having a basic, at least decent understanding of these things. Because the upside for you is it's going to be hard to scam you. You know how many people get scammed when they make money? You might make money and then lose it all because you knew nothing about money and some smooth talker came and convinced you to invest in a bad investment. But if you do, if you're making and watching things happen around money and your knowledge of money, that won't happen. There might be the newest diet fad that comes out or pills that people are taking to lose weight. But if you had a basic understanding of biology, read the book, The Story of the Human Body by Lieberman. If you have that basic understanding, that won't happen to you. If you understand love, maybe you'll be able to prevent someone from cheating on you in a relationship or leaving you in a relationship or divorcing you because you understand, you know, maybe something simple book like The Five Love Languages. Just whether that book is right or wrong, the point is you understanding the differences with people romantically, socially, all these things, and understanding your own happiness, the upside of this, is the ultimate good life. So, questions for you, okay? What is something you've always been bad about being in a state of just wondering? You know nothing, okay? Number one. And what you're going to do about that, how you're going to change. Number two, what is something that you've been good about either making or observing, you know, actively observing, making and watching things happen? What's something that you've done well and how could you do that even more? Double down on it. And lastly, of the subjects I talked about, those six or seven, what's the one you're going to focus on the most now? Is it going to be biology? Is it going to be finance? What's the weak link? Always attack that first, that you're going to go out and make something happen. Learn more actively or observe, okay? So we'll put that under the video, comment there to close out this lesson. Write it on your private journal, pen and paper. You should have it by your computer while you're watching these, okay? So I will see you on the next 67 step. Thanks so much.